These are magic words for hunting seal. O sea goddess Nulyayuk, when you were a little unwanted orphan girl, we let you drown. You fell into the water, and when you hung on to the kayaks crying, we cut off your fingers. So you sank into the sea, and your fingers turned into the innumerable seals. You sweet orphan Nulyayuk, I beg you now, bring me a gift. Not anything from the land, but a gift from the sea, something that will make a nice soup. Dare I say it right out? I want a seal. You dear little orphan, creep out of the water, panting on this beautiful shore. Pooh, pooh, like this. Pooh, pooh. Oh, welcome gift in the shape of a seal. This is a story about how Kalawarsuk learned a lesson in sharing.
A lame man asked Kalawarsuk to move in with him and be his hunting mate. This lame man wasn't able to walk, but he was good at paddling a kayak, so Kalawarsuk teamed up with him, and during the caribou season they shared the meat. But when winter came, Kalawarsuk figured that the lame one was not good for much when it came to hunting at the breathing holes. He couldn't get there over the ice with his bad legs, could he? So when Kalawarsuk went out and caught seal, he did not share any with his lame friend at home, and never gave him a bite to eat. Two brothers next door saw the poor cripple dying of hunger and took pity on him and brought him into their house, telling their wives to feed him dried salmon to revive him. And when the lame man was no longer weak from hunger, they took him with them to the breathing holes by driving him there on a sled. And he turned out to be a good shot with a harpoon. In fact, he caught seals right away, which, of course, he shared with his old sharing partner, Kalawarsuk, who had come along. Kalawarsuk, who had caught nothing himself that day, took his share of seal and said, "How good to have sharing partners." The two brothers spoke right up. "You like having sharing partners now. Then why didn't you think of your sharing partners when you were the one catching seals?"
An old woman had a dog she named Anangat after her daughter, who was living far away in another village. Everybody laughed. "How can you name a dog after your daughter?" they said. "Okay, laugh," she answered. "But every time I feed my dog, I make believe I'm feeding my darling daughter. How do I know she isn't hungry far away from her mama? This way, I feel like I'm feeding her every day. And when I call my dog by my daughter's name, it's just as if my daughter, whom I love, is near. If I always keep my dog Anangat with me, name will call to name, and Anangat, my daughter, will often come to visit." Grandma turned a little odd in spring. She took a caterpillar in and mothered it. She put it down her sleeve while she went about her work, letting it suck like a baby on her skin. And soon it grew so big and fat and happy it said, "Jitsi, jitsi." Her grandchildren saw this and were disgusted. After all, a caterpillar. So when Grandma went behind the tent, they threw it to the sled dogs, who gobbled up the juicy tidbit, of course. And when Grandma came back in, she called, "My darling, my own one, why don't I hear the song that made my old heart young again? Where is my dear one that went jitsi? Are you gone?" And she sat down crying.
If you looked into an owl's house, you'd find Big Papa Owl and Big Mama Owl talking just like humans.
"Our two sons ought to be back soon from hunting. Keep a lookout, Mama, and see if they come back with anything."
"Oh, here they come, our darlings, each dragging a marmot."
Yum, I can't wait. I'll go help them. I'd better hitch up the sled. Where's the dog harness?
Over by the door, but I'm afraid the breast strap is still broken. Well, I meant to mend it, but I just plain forgot.
What do you mean, forgot? You didn't have a thing to do all day.
Well, the baby was so cranky today, he took up all my time.
Well, they were really going at it by the time the two sons came home, each dragging a marmot, and found their parents squabbling, the baby crying, and the pot boiling over. This is a story about a woman who turned to stone.
A woman once refused to get married and turned down every man who proposed to her. So finally one of them said, "You've got a heart of stone and I hope you turn into stone." And before she could answer with her famous sharp tongue, his words began to come true, and she could no longer move from the spot where she was standing by the lake. She was really turning into stone from the legs up. Desperately, she called to some kayaks paddling by. "Kayaks, please come here, boys. I'm ready to get married now." Now she was willing to marry not just one, but as many as she could get. But the men wouldn't come near her, having been rejected by her too often. She clapped her hands and sang her song. "Kayaks everywhere, please come here. I'll take you all as husbands now. Men, have pity on me before my precious hands have turned to stone." But then her hands turned to stone. Stone was her tongue, and her song was done. That stone is still there by the lake shore. It doesn't look like a person anymore. Hardly any of it shows now because people have heaped it over with small white stones as offerings to her spirit. For it is said that since turning to stone, she likes to have possessions of stone, and people think that if they give her what she wants, she will give them good hunting.
This is how the raven and the gull once had a quarrel.
"You dirty white slob of a gull, what are you plumping yourself down here for? You're no match for me, so you better not start anything, big boy."
"Who's trying to tell me what I can't do? When the streams run free of ice in spring, who goes spearfishing with his beak? Me. That's something you can't do, short bill, and never will."
"Yes, but when it's freezing out, you have to stay home crying from hunger. You're pecking bones while I'm eating berries. So what did you say I couldn't do?"
There is a tribe of invisible men who move around us like shadows. Have you felt them? They have bodies like ours and live just like us, using the same kind of weapons and tools. You can see their tracks in the snow sometimes, and even their snow houses, but never the invisible men themselves. They cannot be seen, except when they die, for then they become visible. It once happened that a human woman married one of the invisible men. He was a good husband in every way. He went out hunting and brought her food, and they could talk together like any other couple. But the wife could not bear the thought that she did not know what the man she married looked like. One day, when they were both at home, she was so overcome with curiosity to see him that she stabbed with a knife where she knew he was sitting. And her desire was fulfilled. Before her eyes, a handsome young man fell to the floor. But he was cold and dead, and too late she realized what she had done and sobbed her heart out. When the invisible men heard about this murder, they came out of their snow huts to take revenge. Their bows were seen moving through the air, and the bowstrings stretching as they aimed their arrows. The humans stood there helplessly, for they had no idea what to do or how to fight, because they could not see their assailants. But the invisible men had a code of honor that forbade them to attack opponents who could not defend themselves. So they did not let their arrows fly, and nothing happened. There was no battle after all, and everyone went back to their ordinary lives.
You, stranger, who only see us happy and free of care, if you knew the horrors we often have to live through, you would understand our love of eating and singing and dancing. There is not one among us who has not lived through a winter of bad hunting when many people starve to death. We are never surprised to hear that someone has died of starvation. We are used to it, and they are not to blame. Sickness comes, or bad weather ruins hunting, as when a blizzard of snow hides the breathing holes. I once saw a wise old man hang himself because he was starving to death and preferred to die in his own way. But before he died, he filled his mouth with seal bones, for that way he was sure to get plenty of meat in the land of the dead. Once during the winter famine, a woman gave birth to a child while people lay round about her dying of hunger. What could the baby want with life here on earth? And how could it live when its mother herself was dried up with starvation? So she put it out and let it freeze. Then a seal was caught and the famine was over, so the mother survived. That is what may happen to people. We have gone through it ourselves and know what one may come to, so we do not judge them. And how should one who has eaten his fill and is well be able to understand the madness of hunger? We only know that we all want to live.
Netsa Suet Suasuk. This unpronounceable name was the name of a man who could never catch a seal. Netsa Suet Suasuk. When the men came home from hunting at the breathing holes and his wife saw her neighbor's husband drag a fat seal into the igloo next door and her own husband come in with nothing, she was furious. So when he asked her for a drink of water, she wouldn't give him a drop. Every day it was like this. He came home, this hunter with permanent hard luck, and asked his wife for a drink, and every time she refused him. What quarrels they had, until one day he said, "I'm fed up. No water? No husband." And he went out for a walk and didn't come back. When night came, he arrived at a house where three bears lived. And when he told them his troubles, they kindly invited him to stay with them. He did, until one day he found that he missed his wife and went home again. The first thing he said when he came in the door was, "Am I thirsty? How about a drink?" His wife answered as usual, "Still no seal? Then no water for Netsa Suet Suasuk." At this, he stared hard at the bearskin on the sleeping platform, sending a mental message to the bears for help. Right away, the snow outside began to crunch with heavy footfalls of a bear. It was a new helping spirit that his friends had sent, and a great paw smashed the ice window of the igloo. The wife immediately understood the things had changed and cried, "Here's water, darling Netsa Suet Suasuk!" And the bear vanished. And from then on, Netsa Suet Suasuk had a good little willing wife who did everything he wanted. He only had to glance at the bearskin for her to jump. And even his luck at the breathing holes changed. No, now he caught many seals and was known as the mighty hunter, Netsa Suet Suasuk.